B-Pod Studios.
Listen, listen, watch, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
122-119. Isaiah has Porter lined up straight away. Looking for the fifth 50-point game in Celtic playoff history. Isaiah against Morris. Right hand, left hand, pulls up, free throw line, draws contact, and he hits the shot as he crashes to the floor. Score it, and the foul. And just when you think you've seen the best of Isaiah Thomas, he turns the page and creates more magic.
Superman is back. Come here, Lois. I got a sandwich for you. Oh, Isaiah. That was Pachana. Oh.
Boy, looking back on the Isaiah Thomas season with the Celtics, Cedric Maxwell's head exploded, I think, on almost a nightly basis, as it should have.
My toe, get me a sandwich.
But last night was a pretty cool evening if you were a fan of Isaiah, and who wouldn't be? I mean, you know, they finally had the video tribute ready for him at the first timeout of the first quarter.
I like that. There's like suspense building. Are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? I felt like just a half hour before the game that there was finally like this, yes, they will do a video tribute sometime in the first quarter.
It was weird too, because at the beginning of the game, you could see Isaiah Thomas in the tunnel riding a bike. So nobody knew whether or not he was going to even play, because he had been kept on the bench, or actually a coach's decision, for like what, three games in a row. So I mean, he's been bad since he returned, and they gave him a try, they threw him out there, but he was either mediocre to bad. And you know, as we're saying, the Nuggets right now, they're tied right now for the best record in the West. They've got a lot to play for, so they couldn't risk it. They couldn't do like what the Celtics have been doing this season, all season, with Gordon Hayward. Like, let's let him get out there, find his footing. They don't have time for that right now with Isaiah. So it was a weird moment where he's riding the bike and all of a sudden the montage comes on the Jumbotron. And if you're at the game, you could see Isaiah like get off the bike and walk over to the bench and watch it. And the montage was awesome. I mean, you forget just how unbelievable that season was. I mean, he averaged almost 29 points a game that season. He led the NBA in fourth quarter points that year. I mean, his fourth quarter were just like, I mean, it became a joke almost after a while, you know, king of the fourth. It was true. The guy would just go off. He played a day after losing his sister. I mean, that was unbelievable. Everyone thought he was going to be out for an extended time during the playoffs, but he came back. He had 53. I think it was 53 points in that one game during the playoffs. And then he, if you believe it, he broke himself to play throughout that postseason.
Still had the wrap. You notice he had the wrap on his hip while he was sitting on the bench. I mean, that injury is not disappeared. It's still very much there.
So there was that side of it. And I heard Brian Scalabrine say it best. And I think the one reason, and everyone showed up with signs. I mean, it was Isaiah Love was all over the place. Everyone was glad he was back. And Scalabrine made a great point last night. He said, you know, Isaiah Thomas is a perfect example as why we need to really honestly cherish every great moment, because he had everything and it just was all taken away in a blink of an eye. I mean, think of how he was in the MVP discussion during that season, and then since then he's been broken. You know, he can't play. And as a matter of fact, last night, major solid to who's the coach of the Nuggets, John?
Mike Malone.
Okay. Major props to him, because agreed. After three nights in a row of not even playing the guy, they not only put Isaiah in, but they put him in for like 6 minutes.
Yeah, 7 minutes. Yep.
And he was awful. Like, he showed up, and I think he misses a layup. Then he bricks a three-pointer, causes a bad foul. There's a turnover.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just
a couple of nice assists, but other than that, yeah.
He is alive. And again, it's easy to forget because he was so brilliant on the offensive end. The Celtics said, oh, a 5'9 guy on the floor. Let's make sure we create the mismatch and go right at him.
I know.
I mean, if you're not scoring 50 at the other end of the floor, that's a problem.
Do you notice who he is? His guarding, he had a guard when he got in the game was Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
It was just kind of one of those deals where you're just like, well, isn't that interesting? The two guys that got traded away for each other, now they're guarding each other. That had to be a little awkward.
Having said all of that, Would you take Isaiah Thomas as the backup point guard for this team next year?
No, I would not. No, he's. I mean, first of all,
if he costs you nothing, which he's going to, he's not going to cost you anything.
It all depends because once again, he is coming back from an injury and he needs that time to get better. I don't know. I mean, it would all depend on who else was out there as far as backup point guards.
You got to figure you're only going to get one guy next year, whether it be Kyrie or Terry Rozier. You're probably not going to lose both, so you need a backup to one of those two guys.
If I had to make a decision right now, I'd say no way.
Well, the way he looked last night is jarring. I get it. But if he has he's not going to play much the rest of the season. Nuggets have a lot to play for here. They might wind up with home court throughout the Western Conference playoffs. So he's not going to play a lot. He probably won't play a lot, barring injury in the playoffs. He's going to have a lot of time to heal. And if he only costs you $1 or $2 million, you're not going to back the Briggs truck up for this guy. You're going to get him really cheap. If he can learn, and we were talking about this yesterday, if he can figure out a way to subjugate his offense and work within the system with better players on the floor, I say take a flyer on him.
See, there's one problem, John, and that's I don't know if he'll want to come back.
That is up in the air. Yes.
I mean,
that's right.
Oh, my God. So now let's get to the other part of all of this. And I went back and forth, and I'm a huge Isaiah Thomas fan, and I was, you know, it grossed me out a little bit during the whole Paul Pierce thing where his number was getting retired and he said he still wanted his video tribute. That did gross me out. But then there's this. Last night after the game, he was holding his post-game press conference. And by the way, he's wearing shoes last night that he said that he had not opened or ever worn because he had them made the year they were in the playoffs to wear during the finals with the Celtics. And it's these green shoes. All right, dude.
A little too much.
It's been a couple years. It's been a couple
let it go,
years.
Buddy. Let it go.
Let's listen to some of the post-game stuff.
I was emotional, almost crying.
We saw. Almost?
But, yeah, almost. That was everything. I appreciate them for doing that. That meant a lot.
You've been a part of different ceremonies before, jerseys and things like that. But how does this rank up just for you personally as far as that you take with you that means a lot to you?
It's up there. I mean, I got my college jersey retired. That was big. But this is like, you can't even describe that feeling. Like, my teammates felt that, and they wasn't even a part of that. So, like,
real quick, your number wasn't retired, man. I think that when Johnny Boychuk came back, they gave him a video tribute. I mean, there's there's been people who are just kind of fan favorites that they've given. And a video tribute was very cool, and we all loved Isaiah Thomas. But I mean, we're talking like this is, you know, and his number getting retired.
I don't think that there's any problem with any of this. I think Isaiah has made no bones about it. He wants to come back to Boston. He misses the area. Celtics fans loved him while he was here. He loved being here. He talked for days and months about how he wanted to be an ambassador for the team. Remember that?
Sure.
He wanted to be the face of the franchise. And, of course, Danny Ainge traded him for a better model. And
then
he
made about 15 videos about how he was wrong.
I understand all of that. But why can't the guy be happy about being back? He was a bright spot in a period of time where the Celtics weren't expected to do much. And he single-handedly carried them to relevancy.
Let's go to Chris real quick on line 2. What's up, Chris, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? I was listening to you guys, and I feel like this Isaiah Thomas injury thing has been going on so long. Like, he's been slowed down for so long. Like, isn't it almost like the Celtics training staff, like, during that year in the postseason? It's like, don't go out and play and totally destroy your career for the rest of your life. Like, who's that person who's supposed to sit there and be like, listen, dude, you can't go out there. Like, I thought the training staff was supposed to be the ones to be like, hey, you can't go out there. You're not healthy enough. Like, the player is always going to make the decision to go out there and play.
Okay, Chris, right? Here's the only problem with all of that.
There's not training staff.
And that is, if you are Isaiah Thomas and you believe that the Celtics truly and their medical staff wrecked you and they gave you bad advice and told you to go out and play through an injury that you shouldn't have played through, then why is he all but begging to come back to the Celtics? Wouldn't you be like, F you? You completely ruined my career. This Brinks truck that I was supposed to get is now completely gone, and I can't even play a full 6 minutes and not be a laughingstock years later.
Because he said that he's never been more relevant than when he played for the Boston Celtics. He goes to Cleveland. He goes to the Lakers. He's now with the Nuggets. And you don't even think about Isaiah Thomas. You think about it's just he's an afterthought. Where's Isaiah now? Oh, he's in Denver. Coming off the bench. when he was playing for the Celtics, and he said as much. He was as relevant and as, you know, as impactful as he'd ever been in his entire basketball career. So it's that love he feels. He loves to feel the love. Like, what athlete doesn't? But I think Isaiah Thomas, more than any athlete, loves that synergy that he has with the fan base here, the underdog mentality, what he brought to this team. And he hasn't felt that at any of the last three teams that he's played on, and he wants to feel that again. So I think that supersedes what happened with him with the medical staff here. But you're right. I would be ticked off
of course
about
you
that
would.
Because – he was a. You talk. I mean, I was listening to some of the montage that Jimmy Stewart had on Felger Madge yesterday, and you had a great call in there, John, in that montage. But he talks about backing up the Brinks truck. You're gonna have to bring the money in to pay me, and then all of a sudden that injury happens, and it's like he didn't even get even close to obviously he maybe would have made if he was still healthy.
He got wrecked. All right, we have Chris Forsberg from NBC Sports Boston. He'll talk to us about last night's game and give his opinion on whatever what ended up going down with Isaiah Thomas and maybe what his future holds. And, you know, he is practically begging to be on the Celtics, and would they indeed take him, you know, take him back?
They're going to need a guard next year.
Sure.
I don't know if Brad Wanamaker's the answer. So they're going to need somebody.
I like Wanamaker's game. I think.
I didn't
put a Celtics uniform on him. You like him? My God.
Are you kidding?
He has a Celtics uniform. That makes no sense.
No, what I'm saying is, whoever is wearing this, that's the guy. That's my guy.
You're telling me Wanamaker hasn't been all right this year?
He's been okay. He's fine.
As a third string point guard, he's been fine.
Do you want him 15 or 20 minutes a game for an entire season?
I don't know.
I'd like to give him a shot.
He looks better than Isaiah Thomas, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
You're telling me he's not better than Isaiah Thomas?
Right this second, now? Yes.
Okay. All right.
Next year might be different.
And we agree with that. All right. We'll have Chris Forsberg on in just a sec.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Left out.
You know the hot take.
This stupid All-Star game.
He still made those plays.
They now have shown they can win.
Everything Boston Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, why not? If the opportunity presents itself, I mean, that would be everything. But I'm a Nugget right now, and I'm happy to be here. And the Nuggets organization has took me in with open arms and given me an opportunity and given me a chance to work my way back on my time, and I can't thank them enough. But I mean, if that opportunity is there, I'm open to any and everybody. But if that opportunity is there, I mean, why not?
98.5 A Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, Ted Johnson filling in, and it was a cool moment last night. Isaiah finally getting his tribute, and as I said, the coach, the Nuggets, being very, very classy by putting in, after three games of him not playing, putting him into the game, and not just for like a moment or two. I mean, he was in there for like 6 minutes. And he wasn't very good. I was hoping they were going to put him in the fourth quarter, so maybe the Celtics could possibly do some catching up after what started off as a disaster at the end of the third. But it brings an interesting question. Like, you know, he's basically begging to come back to the Celtics, and we have Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chris, good morning, sir.
Good morning, y'all. What's going on?
Not much. What did you make of everything with Isaiah Thomas yesterday?
I mean, it was awesome. You know, like, you're not supposed to root for players. You're not supposed to, like, root for the team and everything, but I make an exception for Isaiah. What he did that 2016-17 season was probably the greatest stretch of basketball I've ever seen. I mean, you could make the case that he was the best player in basketball for, like, a four-month stretch during that season, and 29-point fourth quarter against Miami, and obviously everything he did in the playoff. Like, I just can't say enough about what that team was like to watch, what he meant to it, what he meant to, like, reestablishing basketball in Boston. So he deserved every second of that tribute last night. He deserved every bit of applause. And, you know, it's funny to me to sit there and watch this season and say, like, you know, there's been times when this year hasn't been enjoyable because this team has just made it tough to root for, right? Like, they've been They don't bring the intensity always. There's a ton more talent than that 2016-17 season ever had, and yet they don't play with the same grit and the same desire. And, you know, you knew every night showing up what Isaiah and that crew was going to bring. And so, you know, they deserve to be toasted. It's weird that it took 2 years, but it was really neat to see that moment last night. Of course, it's also sort of sad because Isaiah is nowhere near the player that he used to be, and you just sort of hope that he can figure that out.
Okay, Chris, so when you were covering the team that year, how it all ended with the injury and him playing while he was injured, and then they ended up, I believe, firing the training staff after that season was done, how much of that injury do you believe the Celtics were responsible for anything that's going on with Isaiah Thomas as far as his injury is concerned?
I think there was blame on both sides. I think Isaiah put himself out there trying to fight through it and wanting to be out there. I think the Celtics probably could have been a little bit more proactive in protecting him. But like, if I remember right, you know, he has the you know, he talked about having the extra bone in his hip, and, you know, he's already had a weird condition. Players sort of tear in the NBA, that area. I don't want to say frequently, but it's not something that's terribly uncommon. It's just he has a unique circumstance, and, you know, the in regards to the Celtics like firing their training staff, I do think that part of that was coming anyway as they sort of transitioned into their new building and sort of future looking. But yeah, certainly, like, it all aesthetically, it didn't look great, and I'm sure both sides wish they had handled it a little differently. But, like, you know, again, Isaiah wanted to be out there during the playoffs and probably put himself in harm's way. And the Celtics were so eager to make that push that they probably allowed him to be out there. And it's too bad because it really did, you know, I can't imagine the amount of money it cost Isaiah and the sort of how far it set him back on trying to get back and be an impact player in this league.
So he's all but begging to come back to the team. And we know that Rozier's probably not long for being a Celtic. There's going to be someone who's going to offer a ton of money that I'm sure Danny is not going to want to offer up for a backup point guard if Kyrie indeed sticks around. So how open would you be to the return of Isaiah Thomas next season if indeed there was an opening that needed to be filled?
You know, I mean, selfishly, like, I don't have the funds to pay his salary, but I would, like, run a GoFundMe to help make it happen because I want Isaiah back in the locker room and all those quotes that he brings. Basketball-wise, I don't know. Like, I do think it would be a little bit awkward because you've got this guy who's so revered, and yet, like, you know, I do wonder what it was like for Kyrie. He said all the right things after last night, but here's a guy he essentially got, you know, traded for, and everyone's showing him love, and I think Isaiah represents everything that people want Kyrie to be, like, embrace the city, embrace sort of being the leader of this team. And he hasn't quite done that yet, at least not like long-term wise. If there was an opening, I would say, you know, it would be a great story. I don't know if it would come to fruition, but certainly it'll be fun to sit there and see what options he has this summer. You know, I really hope for Isaiah's sake that he finds a way into this playoff rotation. Maybe he finds something in the playoff motivation to get out there and show what he's capable of, because there are going to be teams with a fair amount of money out there, and I hope he finds a situation where he can blossom. I honestly think that's ultimately the biggest thing for him. He has to find a team that has the ability to put him out there consistently, let him figure this thing out, let him try to get back to the player that he was. You know, it probably has to come on I don't know if it's necessarily a non-playoff team, but a younger team that's maybe trying to fight their way into contention and can sort of give him the space he needs and the shots he needs to figure this thing out.
We have about 11 games left in the regular season, Chris. Do you have a firm handle on what the Celtics are exactly?
I got no clue. I hate to say that, like, you know, but I sort of promised myself probably like 20 games ago that I wouldn't ride the wave anymore. And, you know, then they go out west and they have a really, what I thought was a really successful trip, the last game in against the Clippers notwithstanding. And I'm like, all right, you know, this team has the potential. They can go into the playoffs and make that run and get to the finals. We've seen the glimpses. You know, and then Hayward gets hurt here, and you know, they look. I mean, that that boneheaded series from the end of the third quarter.
It was awful. It's rare that you see the moment a soul gets ripped out of a team so blatantly in front of you.
Jaylen Brown forgot the guy in the corner.
Man, I'm telling you, a 5-point swing within 1.1 seconds, it was just, the life was sucked out of the arena yesterday.
It was unbelievable. And so those are the moments that scare me because, you know, Brad made reference to this afterward, is the teams in the playoffs, you're going to hit adversity. And how do you respond? You know, we saw two instances in the previous two games, you know, even though they coughed up leads, they were able to find ways to win. Like, you know, even though they gave up a 25-point lead, they beat the Hawks. But, you know, last night was bad. And to sort of like give up those two plays, the end of the third quarter and then the start of the fourth, and then they just sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say they gave up, but like the body language was terrible. And so what happens when that's like, you know, that's a really good team across the way last night. Like that's the sort of team you're going to see in the playoffs. Those are the lapses you can't have. Now, I do think, you know, I give this team every sort of asterisk. Like they're too good. They're too talented not to compete hard and work in the playoffs, but like you gotta want it. And I just don't know sometimes, based on effort level, like if they can put together a consistent 48. So nothing will surprise me when it comes to the postseason. Like I don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out. Like they could win all these games against the head to heads with Philly and Indy and surge to that third seed. But ultimately it comes down to like what team shows up in the playoffs, where are they health wise? They could get bounced in the first round or they could go to the finals. Like nothing would surprise me at this point.
Now, Chris, you did a really good, like drive along with Terry Rozier. It was like the James Corden thing, except without it sucking. Terry Rozier said something I thought was fairly interesting. You were talking about Kyrie Irving as a leader, and it almost sounded like he alluded to the personality of the team is almost dictated by the mood of Kyrie Irving. Did you get that impression as well?
Yeah, and I'm like, even before Terry sort of brought it up, I've sort of wondered if this was a thing, and I do think it's true. It's like when Kyrie is engaged, and it doesn't even necessarily mean like in a great mood. It's more, is Kyrie taking charges? Is he rebounding the basketball? Is he energetic with his teammates and pumping them up and looking into the game? You know, they're a different team, and they for whatever reason, this group feeds off its leader more than any team I've seen. Like in the past, it'd be nice where like, okay, if Isaiah didn't have it, Jay Crowder could step up and sort of give the team a spark. You know, not necessarily that can't happen with this group, but I just feel like there are nights where if Kyrie isn't engaged, if Kyrie isn't doing those little things and playing defense and doing all that, that this team, for whatever reason, sort of downshifts and it just doesn't look the same as it does when he's engaged. And so, you know, it was unique to hear Rozier sort of throw that out there, because I think you can, as a team, you probably try to ignore that. And it's a little condemning of your leader. It's a little condemning of guys that don't step up when he doesn't have it. And, you know, but I think it's true. And I just think it's so important for them to have a happy, content Kyrie out there in the postseason. And I think that'll happen because, you know, Kyrie embraces that moment and he said, you know, pretty much for months now that all he wants to do is get to the playoffs. And I do think, you know, he'll be very hyped for that moment. But these guys also have to know, like, be able to respond if those defenses are taking away Kyrie, if he's frustrated, you need everybody else to step up. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that sort of Kerry made that connection. If you go back and look at sort of the ebb and flow of the season, sort of coincides with how Kyrie's mood has been.
Well, if we learned anything last night, Chris Forsberg, it's that Nikola Jokic is the most unathletic looking dominant basketball player I've ever seen. I've never seen a guy who walks onto the court winded, yet just absolutely
he's brilliant.
Destroys when he's out there. But it was just like I called him it's like a bag of potatoes. It's a giant bag of potatoes with a Nuggets jersey, and he just was embarrassingly good last night.
As an opponent, you feel like why is this guy dominating us? But he is just so skilled, and it's amazing. He could show up at your rec league, and you'd be like, oh, we're going to toast this guy. And he's real good.
Yeah, and then he just embarrassed. I don't know if it was him or Plumlee that knocked Tice on his ass, but that was one of those things where it's just like, if I'm Daniel Tice, I'm
Plumlee,
like,
I think
you try to delete any kind of the assemblage of that footage out there anywhere. You don't want anyone to ever see that. All right, well, Chris, thanks for all the good stuff. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
Hey, IT moment was great last night, but the number one moment was maybe the hero among us and a certain Mary Shirt and Weed being out there.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because, I got multiple tweets from that. Congratulations, Rich. I'm sure that was a great moment from there.
It was. It was way bigger and way more emotional than we thought it was going to be. Like, I mean, Mary was absolutely honored. That was, by the way, courtesy of one Mike Gorman, who would never want me to say that. But Mike Gorman's the one who nominated Mary for the Heroes Among Us yesterday.
Great.
I mean, it was awesome. It was a huge moment, and my kids, you know, they all got caught up in it too. It was great. Thank you, Chris, for saying that.
That's awesome. No, seriously, you guys are awesome people. That was cool to see.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it, Chris. All right, well, let's talk more about Ted Johnson and the meathead in the gym factor. People approaching Ted and ask him to spot him. There's people calling this morning for workout advice for Mr. Teddy J.
While you are not here, and we talked about how vascular Ted is and how he on purpose like wears the vest so he can show off the guns. I mean, look at this. He's like busting out of his long sleeve shirt today. We've discussed this before. We had people tweeting him all over the place for workout advice, and he was more than happy to answer.
By the way, we're just randomly talking this morning, and the phone lines had filled up because, I mean, people are...
Everyone wants to look like you, Ted.
I apparently they do, but if you need some jacked up, pumping up advice, because that's what they call it, we've got Mr. Ted J.
Ted's pump up to 6'9".
That's
six
right.
Nine.
Ted Johnson on the pump up line. I mean, listen, all you got to do is just, you know, hang on. We don't even have this pulled up then. We pulled up? We got my audio pulled up?
Just text NUT to 696969.
Or you could do that. All right, right after the headlines, 617-779-098.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 985thesportshub.com.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello.
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Touch and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
985 The Sports Hub.
The 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and we are obviously very happy that Ted Johnson is filling in this morning while Fred is out of town. And I have a tweet here that just came in, Ted, that said, I was on a flight with Ted to Orlando at the end of February, and I wanted to say hi and tell him I was a fan, but was too intimidated by his sheer size, so I turtled. Hashtag airport intimidation. Let's go to Danny on line two. Danny, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I was listening this weekend, and Ted, you told a story about when you were still playing, you, I think, Vinatieri and one other player were asked to unveil some new jerseys
Bledsoe.
At a rock concert.
Yep.
Yeah, and Bledsoe. And I think it was, you said you went on right before Stone Temple Pilots. And it was, you said, one of the biggest rushes you ever had. Now, my question for you is, if you could go back, would you go back on that stage? Or would you go back to that movie theater and fight those guys?
Oh. Okay, hang on. What, I don't know this movie theater thing.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Tell it. It's really good.
it was funny. I mean, Fred, when you were gone, I filled in with Fred last week for a few days, and we got into this thing where it kind of got to. I think we're talking about Conor McGregor wanting, looking for exit strategies, and like always being on the defensive when he gets into a room. And I said, I kind of do the same thing, and then that led to this big discussion about my kind of bloodlust in this sick fantasies, these different fantasies I have about somebody like trying to rob me so I can kick their ass, or somebody come breaking into my house so I can kick their ass, or, you know, I'm saving the day. I see him, you know, a damsel in distress, and I come save the day and beat the guy up. And so it got down this kind of rabbit hole of that discussion. And I talked about a time when I was in Boulder, Colorado, my senior year. I was at a movie very late. It was a late start, and there was literally, it was a Rocco. It was a romantic comedy, and it was like me, my girlfriend at the time, and like two other couples, and then five guys that were down in the front row, and they brought beer bottles into the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just hear beer bottles drop in. They were talking throughout the whole movie. And so me and my girlfriend were like looking around at the other couples. We're kind of all making eyes at each other like, can you believe these guys? We're trying to enjoy this movie.
Okay, what movie was this?
I can't remember the movie, but I can remember what happened in the movie.
These dudes are trying to watch The Notebook together.
Yeah, right.
It's a bros night out.
Yeah, we're like, exactly. Like, they had zero business being in this movie theater. And it was one of those deals where it's like, dude, I gotta be a man here. I gotta be a man here and do the right thing. Nobody else was gonna go up. And I said, you know, I remember actually kind of enjoying the movie, trying to anyway. So I go up and I say to these guys, would you mind keeping it down? We're all trying to watch the movie here. Just, we'd appreciate it if you would just stop, you know, making so much noise. And they kind of look at me like, okay. And for about 5 minutes, they did. And then the beer bottle started clanking again, and they, total disregard for that. So we sat through that entire movie, surprisingly, mm-hmm. with the distractions that were going on. And we left to the movie theater, and it's like midnight. Nobody is in the movie theater. Like, you don't see anybody working in the ticket counter or behind the concession stand. And, of course, my girlfriend Kelly decides she has to go to the bathroom after the movie. So I'm standing there in the lobby while she's in the restroom, and here come the five guys, and they all circle me.
They circle you?
And I just remember just talking about my just this adrenaline of just like – and Rich, I mean, you talk about assessing the situation fast. And I'm thinking, in my mind, at that very moment, I thought I could take these five guys down.
You're saying, please jump me.
Yeah, I wasn't because there was like zero person in there to like maybe jump in and break it up or to call the cops.
You never told us how big the guys were.
They were frat guys.
Okay.
So like, I'm thinking I think my max is, I can do.
And all of a sudden you come around. Yeah. So they're all going about 190 to 210.
190 to 210 at the most.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking, I can handle this.
You're 265, 270.
And then we're just talking back and forth. Their sides. I'm thinking this is maybe going to go down. And then here comes Kelly. She walks right into the middle of this little this circle, grabs, just puts her hand on my forearm, squeezes my forearm as if to say, let's get the hell out of here. And I exited the theater with her, but the rush I felt was unlike anything. So he's talking about the time we got new uniforms. So flash to 1999, I want to say. There were some new uniforms that they were unveiling. We're at this summer concert at Foxborough. It was this big event where all these bands came in, and we're on stage right before Stone Temple Pilots is to take the stage. And I'm standing up on the stage with all these people.
It's River Rave, right? It's BCN.
There you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. And it was an unbelievable rush.
Oh, that was great.
So he's asking me which one I would rather be on stage again. The visuals were amazing. Yeah. What you saw and what that feeling was like up there was pretty awesome. So of the two scenarios that you just asked about, caller, I would say – put me back on stage because that feeling of like what it must be like for a rock star every time they go up there is unbelievable.
Okay,
man.
You talk about permission to absolutely like beat the hell out of somebody. Like there are very few scenarios where it is perfectly fine for you to beat somebody up within an inch of their life. One of them would be breaking into your house.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be one where you just, I mean, whatever you do to somebody, you're essentially able to do. I've got a story when we get back. We got to take a quick break. I know a guy who was a professional boxer who, for one shining moment, had permission to beat somebody up within an inch of their life. And it is one of the funniest damn stories I've ever heard. It's a guy I've become friends with.
That's what I'm asking for. One chance.
Has anybody had that one shining moment where you were legally able to beat the hell out of somebody?
And you were big enough to pull it
6 off. 6 foot 7, 779-0985. A Ted Johnson dream moment. If you've got it, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. Real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
985 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and we have Ted. You all right, John?
I don't know what just happened there. You that's the second time in 9 years that's happened.
You could have coughed up enough milk for a bowl of cereal.
After that, Lord.
Sounded like Evan Turner there for a moment.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey there, everybody. I'm doing the Sports Hub headlines. John,
it happens.
It happens. It does. It happens. The pros, man.
Well, we were just talking to Ted Johnson, who is here in studio this morning, and we're talking about how he kind of has this dream that, you know, he could have a justified reason for absolutely beating the snot out of somebody. Like if someone was to, as you said, break into your house or, you know, this is...
try and rob me somehow.
Sure. Yeah. You would be justified in doing that. And I was wondering if anyone's ever had a situation where they've just been able to go off and let go and beat the hell out of somebody because they were either attacked or you were able to kind of deliver on that one dream that a lot of people have. Now, most of us, Ted, are not of your size and would have a little bit of
part of it. I lift like Parcells. That's why I'm lift all those weights. You should say that all the time because, you know, I lift all these weights for that moment, one moment that hopefully presents itself. Where I get to actually legally, you know, beat the crap out of somebody.
So I've got a good friend who used to be a professional boxer. Now, you know, he is one of the nicest human beings you've ever met on the planet. I mean, he's...
Isn't that funny how that works? A lot of boxers I've met know are the same way.
Just salt of the earth, great people, and he's somebody who is as kind as it gets. However, he one night, he has two children and a wife. And he lives in the city, and in the middle of the night, he heard something downstairs in his little brownstone he's got. So he tells his wife, and he goes, "Hang on, I think I hear something downstairs." And she goes, "You know, be careful." And so he goes creeping downstairs, and sure enough, he sees there's a guy who's in their living room, and he's obviously broken in. He doesn't know how he's gotten in at this point, but he's in there. And there's this guy who is rummaging through their drawers, like underneath the television. So my friend, the boxer, comes slowly downstairs and gets right behind him. And the dude hears him right as he creeps up behind him and turns around. And this guy decks him right in the chin, hits him so hard. The dude hits the deck, gets on his back and starts scrambling. And he hit him so hard that the guy got up and started running and ran to the kitchen and opened up the refrigerator door. Tried to run out of the refrigerator and smashed himself and fell back onto the floor. So he starts trying to get away. And my buddy gets on top of him and just starts pelting him again, you know, right in the face until the guy, like he does it like two or three times. That's all it took.
Yeah.
And the guy was knocked out. So he calls the cops. And the cops, you know, it takes a few minutes for them to get there. Meanwhile, this guy has been hit so hard that he's still knocked out. It's been like 4 or 5 minutes. You know how hard you got to be hit in order to be lying on your back for 4 or 5 minutes? So this guy used to do it for a living.
Yeah.
So the police show up. And the way my friend described it to me is that he's still hot. Like he is really, I mean, you're seeing
your
red.
Your adrenaline is going kicking.
So when the police show up, he's like upset that it's taken that long for them to get there. Yeah. So he opens up the door and he's like, "What took you guys so long to get here?" And one of the police officers goes, "Johnny?" And he goes, "Hey," and they go, "Johnny!" And all the cops like, "No," and I go, and they walk and they go, "Where's the guy?" And they see my other guy goes, "Oh, they sure picked the wrong house to come through, didn't they?" "Oh, yeah." And meanwhile, the wife comes downstairs. She goes, "My God, get this guy out of here." There's a guy lying on the floor of her home who's got like, you know, like blood on his face. And so it's like, "Get this man out of here." She's freaking out. And so for like a brief moment, it was like that, "We did it," moment, you know, like that. And I said, "You know, how did it feel? You know, because you're a trained
rush
fighter."
Is unlike anything ever.
And contain like, yourself, Ted. Well, Jesus.
Well, his whole thing was like, he goes.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. he said, you know, it felt all right. He goes, "But I'll tell you the craziest thing is that it takes you a little bit to get the tiger back in the cage." You know, it's like, you know, when that happens, it's such a big, you know, especially after your whole life, you know, you hold it in and then like you have this one big moment of just, you know, adrenaline going. And he goes, "It takes a second to come back down from that. It takes a little while."
Yeah.
But I mean, that what a dream.
I think it would be the equivalent of like what somebody who's a sniper, who's trained to, you know, to go.
That's your job. Sure.
Yeah. These long, you know, to kill from these long distances and you never get the order to do it. Like you're just kind of waiting your whole life. You never get that order, man.
Let's go to Jimmy on line 5. Jimmy, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich with Ted Johnson.
Hey, so I have a story.
just a little setup of I had to beat someone up who was trying to break into my car. I just had twins. They were only a couple months old. I got home from work. My mom was there to watch the twins, and they weren't even at the house yet. And I was getting my dog, getting ready for the vet, and all of a sudden I hear my car door open. Mm. Now, this is in the broad daylight in the middle, you know, in the middle of my town. I look over, and there's some girl rummaging through my car. Oof. So I run up, and I shut the door on her to get her locked in the car because I was like, I don't know who this is. All of a sudden, she gets out, and she's, like, heated and is swinging for me. My mom pulls up with the twins in her car. She's screaming, absolutely losing her mind because she sees me, like, literally wrestling with this girl. Her boyfriend comes out of these bushes and tries to, like, attack me from behind and jumps up, and I see him kind of in the reflection of my car, and I grab him, and I, like, throw him against my car, and I'm fighting two people now. So I'm yelling for my mom. Now, my twins are literally, I have twins that are preemies. They're, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months old. Oh. So they're in the car. So now I'm thinking, you know, my mom's here. I have these, I don't know who else is coming for me. So I'm wrestling these two people. My mom finally calls the cops. I live in a little town. The cops literally swarm the scene. There was, like, five cops looking because they were rummaging through other people's cars, and they already got calls. The guy gets the skateboard, I don't know from where, hits me over the back with the skateboard. Oh. The girl runs away. I'm still wrestling with the guy. I throw him on the ground. The cops come. They finally, they get her. She was running down the street. It was completely crazy. And just like you guys said, I was literally pacing. I couldn't even sit for the rest of the night.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I was like, I was just an animal, an absolute animal.
How big a guy are you?
I'm big. I can handle him. I mean, I'm a big dude. I've been waiting for this. Like,
yeah. Yes. Dude. You know exactly. You know,
and I can see even the adrenaline getting even worse once you could actually visually see your twins and your mom sitting there, because you're like, well, they're in danger too. Yeah. So it's almost like that mama bear thing where, all right, now it's truly on. Oh, my God. In a situation like that, I could definitely see all that happening. All right, we've got a bunch of calls. Should we take these? Justified in kicking someone's ass?
Yeah,
is that all right, 617-779-0985. No commercials, just...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something. Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.95 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios, and Ted Johnson
in studio with us this morning, and he was telling us about how he has this, this dream, this bloodlust of wanting
to look at the phone lines. Yeah. My God.
Well, I mean, there's something amazing. It's a fantasy that a lot of people have.
I guess we're learning that this, and I'm not the only one that has this fantasy.
Everyone's got this fantasy, yeah. Is that you are completely justified in defending your family or getting in a fight, and you actually end up winning this. And you are somebody, as I said, who, unlike all of us, I mean, there's 99.9% of the population, you could kick their ass. Whereas, you know, me and John, we have a little bit of a uphill battle.
It's a problem
with
we
some
need
of these people.
Some kind of weapon to pull that off.
But I mean, yeah. It is one of those things. It's like, you know, there's those moments where, you know, I mean, how great would it be if somebody, you know, if there was ever a horrible situation where someone, like, you know, broke into your house, where you were able to defend your home and be that guy that knocked out the burglar. Dude, it's a dream everyone has.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so and I justified ass kickings, I think, is something that we can all relate to. So let's go to the full phone lines. Which one are we
seriously?
All right, let's go to Mark on line one. Mark, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
I got a good one, guys. This was a long time ago. I was a little kid. I'm in the living room. I'm living in the North End at the time. So this is unheard of back in the day, okay?
Okay.
Me and my mom are sitting on the couch watching TV. So all of a sudden, we hear some whispering and some noise in the hallway because our front door is, like, right there. And all of a sudden, our doorknob starts jiggling and trying to, you know, they're trying to open the door. So it just so happens that my dad and his friends we're about 25 yards around the corner at the local bar. So my mother ran to the kitchen, got on the phone, called them, and this bar happened to sponsor a softball team. So needless to say, there was four guys on my way to my house with softball bats. And the first thing they asked when they got in the hallway, they looked at the two guys in the hallway and they said, "Why are you here and who are you looking for?" And the worst thing the kid could have said was, "I don't know." He said, "I don't know." The bat went across the knees. Oh, the guy went down. The guy went down. My father's friend cold cocked the other guy, and there was two of our other guys outside. There happened to be a car parked on the sidewalk with a driver in it. My other father's friend put his fist through the window and pulled them out through the window. Pulled them out through the window, and they beat them senseless right on my street. The people on my street were just like, "Yeah, yeah."
Mark, can I just play devil's advocate for a moment? What if for some reason these were guys who just happened to have the wrong
apartment?
Address?
Yeah.
No. Guys, this was like at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there's a little more justification there. That makes a little more sense. All right, Mark, I appreciate it. Right, good. It's a poor delivery guy. FTD.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Sorry. That's a little, I don't know. Maybe
bat across the knee, though, the bat is, again, one of, and I thought about the weapons. We talked about this, too. What weapon would you use? And bat, the not the metal bat, but the wooden bat for, like, say, a 12-year-old. So it's that, you know, it's about 3 or 4 feet long.
I mean, you
that's
really thought
perfect,
this through.
Honest to God, this gets scarier and scarier every time we bring this up.
Doesn't having, like, a weapon, like, kind of cheapen it? Like, you just do it with your mitts.
Yeah.
I can do it with my own mitts.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it does to some degree. But, you know, if there is a weapon that the person that's robbing you that has a weapon, then I think it's fair game then.
Okay. All right.
And there's one scenario, real quick before you get to the next. The one scenario that can get me, and we talked about this too, what scenario can happen almost in our daily lives that can get you from 0 to 60 so fast where you have bloodlust like that? Cut me off. Cut me off in traffic.
Oh,
I almost
Jesus,
encouraged
Ted.
Cut me off in traffic.
But that happens road rage. Once a day, right?
Yeah. Oh, and it's like... Oh, it's that sometimes that'll get me going, and it's just, it feels good.
Have you?
It feels good to have that little back and forth with someone in the other car. They cut you off.
Like, what do you
it's
do?
The F you. You know, I go up and I like to smile to them, like, you know.
And then they see what you look like.
Yeah, and then they speed off. And it's just I get that little bit of like, whoosh, that's all I needed, man. I'm good to go.
Okay,
right?
So it's never gotten to a point where. Or has it? What's the furthest it's gotten?
No, it's never. The only time, and I said this last week, is the only time where I got out of the car was this. I was pulling into a parking space. I was turning right into a parking space. Well, the guy to the parking space to the right of it was backing out, and he didn't see me kind of pulling in. And he had the. I'm starting to pull in, and then he hits the reverse to start backing up, and then he slams on the brakes, and I see him, and I'm like, he's going to hit me. And he sees me just in time. Well, I had to do like a 2-point turn to get in there. And he's just, he's on the steering wheel and he's slanting the steering wheel. He's going nuts. He's going absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is perfect. This is perfect. I get to get out. I'm going to get out of the car after I pull in the space. And I get out of the car and he backs up and he sees me. And this old timer couldn't get out of there fast enough.
You've got to live for that moment.
And I was just like, yes. Victor, and I go, what's your problem, bro? Come here. Let's talk about it. I go, come out. Come here. Let's go. Let's talk about it. And he took off, and I thought, I just always wanted to feel that feeling. I got to feel it right there.
Have you ever been brought in as backup? Like, has a friend ever gone, dude, I've got this, you know, there's like a situation where this guy's like being a real jerk. Can I just take you with me? Just to kind of give him the look.
This includes college. No, no, none of your college friends ever did that.
Like, just, could you go with me to this one place? You know, yeah. I just need to talk to a guy, and I want you to be there.
No, so any of my friends listening, you know, give me a call.
Jesus. Because you probably don't get ripped off too at like mechanics and things like, you know what I mean? It's like someone's not going to F with someone who looks like you.
Right.
And you find, you see people's faces change and attitudes change when you show up?
I always say people are, we took a guy that goes to the gym. Somebody who was on the flight back from Orlando with me and my son, we were flying back over February break, that won't say anything. More times than not, when I talk to people, they say I'm intimidating, and I don't know what it is. If I give off this kind of energy,
sure,
I don't mean to. I feel like the way I present myself is in a way that would be encouraging for you to come up and say hi to me, because that's the kind of person I am. I like to talk to people, but most people say that I have this intimidating kind of thing, and they don't. They're scared to even come up and approach me, which is a damn shame.
Because you've got
that's not who I am.
Because you've got something that, like, if guys could buy, they would do it.
You had that crazy gene.
No, it's the ultimate intimidation.
I do have a little bit of a crazy gene.
It's any type of situation, you can make anyone back down. Like, whereas someone might be aggressive, then you would show up like, oh, okay, well, fine, you win.
And don't kid yourself. That is a feeling that I never take for granted. I enjoy... Look. I was naturally gifted to being a big guy, but I work hard. I train. I exercise. I work out. I like to lift weights. So that I can enjoy that feeling. That's a nice feeling.
Sure.
Like boxers. You walk in. If you're a boxer, you walk in with a lot of confidence.
Sure. You know, I've always thought that, and I don't know who I heard say this once. But, you know, my sons, I have them take boxing lessons. And, you know, and a lot of people do this with any kind of, you know, any self-defense or anything like that. And it's just because I heard a guy once say, if you know some sort of, you know, martial art, you know how to fight, then there's this confidence of walking into a room and knowing, you know what, I can handle myself if I ever need
exactly.
to. Exactly. And that's a confidence that I've never had, and I think would be mm-hmm. a great thing to have. And so I'm trying to get my sons, you know, kind of on that track early, where it immediately kind of helps the psyche in any type of situation. Mm-hmm. Not that I want them to fight, but just to know if they ever had to, they could.
If they could. And it's a huge, huge self-esteem builder. It is for kids, but just for any adults to be in good shape, to be feel like you're physically fit, that if anything was to happen, that you could take care of yourself. That is a very much a feeling that gives you confidence.
All right, real quick, Ron on line 6. What's up, Ron? You're on Toucher and Rich. Line 6, please. Ron, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
So I have a story. First, I want to preface this by saying I'm not the confrontational type, but when I was on active duty, I was down in Savannah, Georgia with some of my Army buddies, and you know, we went out to a nightclub and stuff. And as we're leaving the club, there was this girl that was like wasted, and she like stepped off a curb and fell. And, you know, so we're just trying to look out for the girl. You know, we helped her up and everything, and we asked her where her car was. So we walked her back to her car. And I guess she had been at the club with her boyfriend and her friend. And so we walked her to her car, and we're just, and we're just sitting there waiting, you know, hoping her friend and her boyfriend will eventually show up. And as we're sitting there, they finally show up, and this guy doesn't even waste a second. He starts, "What are you doing with my girl?" and just starts screaming and yelling. And we're like, "Dude, just chill out. You know, she fell off the curb. You know, we're just trying to help her. We're trying to look out for her." And next thing you know, he sucker punches me in the mouth. Jeez. And I'm just like, I'm about to lose it, but my friends are like, you know, don't do it. Ugh. So I'm like, dude, we're just trying to help, you know, look out for your girl, you know, and everything. And this dude's just drunk, so he's not listening, right? And he's like, you stupid Marines. And, you know, of course, we're Army, so we're like, whatever. But, you know, so, you know, he's just going crazy. And next thing I know, I spot a car, like a brand new car, like a couple weeks prior to that. He, like, kicks my car, and I just lost it.
Yeah.
So I took this kid. I threw him on the ground. I punched him. I busted his nose open.
Nice.
And then melee starts ensuing. His girlfriend and her friend are pulling him away, and my buddies are pulling me away. So they bring him over to his car, and I'm, like, following him over to their car, right? She goes to the opposite side of the car, puts him in the back seat, and he tries to come up the other side, and I just take the door, and I slam it on his head.
Okay, all right, man. That is like, you can't do that, man. You can't do that,
that's
man.
That's bad.
There's head just spilled out onto the floor.
And it's getting in a fight, and then there's taking it next level. You going to jail.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
Okay, man. All right.
No, it's funny, though.
That was a fun way to end it.
Yeah.
that's landing the plane safely, huh?
Yeah. But there's a point. Like, so if somebody was to hit you first, like, when can you stop?
Well, I mean.
Like, when do you stop your bludgeoning to, you know, if you have, it becomes clear that you have the upper hand, you know?
Sure. Well, you even said it. Like, the one guy who's new, you could kick in college, you just picked him up and slapped him around.
Because, I did, yeah.
Because you knew. You know, it's like, all right, dude, this is just not fair at this point. Right. So, you know, there's that thing that tells you to kind of stop. All right. 617-779-0985. Young Nicholas was out at the TD Garden last night getting recaps. We will hear his audio right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.